Professor Matt Roskrooge joins us for a cordial and predominantly about taking GST off vegetables. It's an important issue. Matt knows more about Rewai than anyone else I know, that's for sure. He's from Te Ate Awa Ngāti Tama and is a Rutherford Discovery Fellow. He's also Director of Te Rangaha, and he's with the School of Economics, Finance, Business, etc. at Massey University. It's good to have you on the program once again. Matt, tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us on today's show.
Yeah, morena, Dale. Thanks for having me.
Kia ora, mate. Gee, when we first spoke, you moved across to take what you'd known from earlier life, eh, mate, about our spuds, and, gee, it's morphed into a wonderful academic career. Congratulations, no. Matt.
That's my uncle. So we got he's far more talented and intelligent than I am. He does the potato work.
Nick.
I just go on about the business stuff.
Okay, well,
this took way easier.
Well, pass my regards on to Nick Roskrooge then. That'll be a good one. How's he going, mate?
Yeah, I think he's in Chile at the moment. He's got a great life there.
Is he living up there? Or?
Nah, backwards and forwards with work.
Okay. Cool.
Got a flash roll there somewhere.
No, he's the Prince of Potatoes, your Uncle Nick. Good to talk to you again, Matt. So Matt's with the School of Economics and Finance. Good to talk with you. You know, we don't know too many Māori economists, and I think we need... Do you describe yourself as one of them?
Yeah, absolutely, and there's very few. There's a the ones that we do have are mostly in the agricultural and environmental sector, so there's, we definitely need some more coming through. And we're getting them. I got surprised, especially wahine, lots of mature wahine students coming in looking at doing their PhDs, masters, so it's getting better.
Good stuff. Now, the Labor Party is pledging to remove GST from unprocessed fruit and veggies to help people with the cost of living, if the party's re-elected. And alongside a boost for working for families, the tax policy is being panned by some. You say it's not targeted to people who need the support, and it would be hard to hold supermarkets to account. Can you tell us what you think first about the GST issue here and also the boost for working for families? Tell us what real impact on the ground that might have for some people.
Yeah, like I'm a bit surprised. Almost every professional that I've talked to, every economist seems pretty anti the change to GST. I'm reasonably supportive. I mean, if you look at Australia and most of the other OECD who have similar taxes, there are exemptions. I think there's a lot to be said for the having GST exemption on fresh kai. So that should include kai moana, meat, dairy, as well, and fruit and veggies. I'm not sure they went far enough with just fruit and veggies. I've got a little bit, my eyebrows are still up a bit at the price, $400 million a year. It seems like a lot, and I guess what a lot of people are saying is that we could have targeted that money better. So it's not that they don't like the policy, it's that for the money we could have had a different policy that benefited people at the bottom, people who are doing it tough more specifically. And I get that argument, but I still think there's a lot of there's a lot to like about GST or fresh fruit and veg, and you can see it's really popular with people who are voters, people who are doing it tough, working class. People want to put fresh fruit and vegetables on the table for their kids, and anything that makes that more affordable is seen as a good thing. But yeah, I find that the difference between the punters, the economists, and the talking media, and that, and voters, quite surprising.
We know that for those who are struggling week to week at the checkouts, it'll be welcome, even if it is just a few dollars a week. Sometimes we can underestimate what that might mean to some families, and then we look at the boost for working for families. There are many who know little about it because they've never been in a position where it has affected them. I don't know what the cap is for earnings before that might kick in, the working for families support. But the Labor Party is saying that 160,000 people will be affected by that. What can you tell us about it and break it down onto the street, the working for families tax credits that have been applied here? What changes will that have on Civvy Street?
Yeah, I know that working for families has been one of the most successful policies for helping to reduce child poverty. It's been incredibly successful, really good policy. And I think it starts to kick in at about 80,000. But again, I can't remember off the top of my head either. I think it's around 80,000 and under that you start to get the credit. So it is targeting households that, I mean, we earn well. I can't imagine trying to run a household on 80,000 or less. So that support's really... really valuable, and I think the new announcement worked out at about $45 a week, $40 a week on average, for families receiving Working for Families, which is it's a pretty decent boost. That's half a tank of gas maybe. If you've got a small car, it's certainly going to help.
Middle Ground New Zealand often determine the who have the reins of power. And I just wonder whether, while it's addressing those who are doing it tough, it's perhaps pandering to the altruism within our community that want to support people who are doing it tough. But a lot of people are more selfish than that. Is it a vote winner?
Yeah, New Zealand's in that really tricky place where we kind of need to start to put together if we're going to have the social services and support, so if we're going to have good quality health, good quality education, good quality infrastructure, support for people doing it tough, getting rid of child poverty, they're probably going to have to pay more tax. It's really hard to see how, and so that altruism probably needs to be shown sooner or later, and us paying more, high earners like myself paying more out of our tax dollars. But there just doesn't seem to be the political or the will for, I mean, maybe the Dern government, when they got in last time with that landslide mandate, could have put it through. But we're not seeing the will for the sort of tax increases that we probably need if we're going to want to keep having these world-class services available to everybody. That's a tricky problem there.
Do you think they've been bold enough in their tax regime, the government? I say that, some people have many houses and often they are unoccupied, land banking, if you will, but there has been a hesitancy, in fact, almost a refusal from Labor to consider capital gains tax or wealth tax as being proposed by the Greens. We look at everything, Matt, through a Māori lens. And so we're looking to assist our people, for instance, to get into the housing market because we've been squeezed out over the past couple of generations and our rates are plummeting. So what might have been a bolder approach to tax regimes and reforms that could have benefited Māori, so it seems that a chance has been lost here. What do you say of the Labor Party's unwillingness to look in this direction?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're worried about elections, and there's probably a fair portion of the Labor Party that isn't hugely, that aren't keen on higher taxes. But I do think if we're going to have these sort of services, so, I mean, we could decide to cut back on services. We could decide to offer, like we have, right, have hospitals with long waiting lists, the buildings that are not fit for purpose in some cases. Schools that are starting to struggle, closing schools, things like if we're going to have a low tax regime like New Zealand does, that's a trade-off we're going to have to make. And we can do things like push more people onto private insurance. That takes some stress off the health system. But at some point, I think we need to have some mature conversations about the amount of tax that we're going to pay, because we don't pay a lot of tax compared to other OECD countries. People on high incomes don't pay a lot of tax in New Zealand. We don't have a lot of wealth tax. That might be fine, but it comes with less money than the public purse to put towards public goods. And that's a decision that New Zealand needs to make. And I guess we have made at the polls so far. Where parties that offer tax cuts seem to do quite well in polling.
Te Rākau, and as one of our few Māori economists, I know that our contribution, Māori, to the economy is rated at around 70 yeah. bill now, 70 billion. And we've opened up for trade routes here with free trade agreements with the European Union and with the UK. Is that enough stimulus, do you think, to grow the Māori economy? And how important might that be for Māori producers seeking to get more markets offshore?
Yeah, I mean, the next thing, the 70 billion is just our assets. So our monetary assets, it doesn't include all of our knowledge, our people, our brand, our understanding and values. So all of the, there's a whole lot in the Māori economy that's not even captured in that 70 billion. And yet the 70 billion is a big number by itself. You'd have to, these agreements are incredible. A lot of our businesses and startups in Kai, they're in the primary sector. And a lot of these agreements are designed to improve access for those goods and services, so primary sector goods and food exports. So I think that's really important for parts of the Māori economy, and it's going to help us sort of grow the scale of our businesses. Need to be sort of tapping into some of our Māori that are living overseas as well. That's a really important part of building those trade links. And we've got Māori all over the world now. And all of those people are working in companies, or they know of opportunities, or, you know, should be tapping them on the shoulder and finding out what's happening over in the UK and Aussie, wherever else they might be in the US, and looking to find business opportunities there. And these trade agreements help to enable those opportunities for a little bit of export. But we also do incredibly well in the media and creative spaces and arts and consultancies. So there's lots of other parts of the Māori economy that are really thriving that aren't just, you know, go beyond just exporting fruit and vegetables, seafood.
Well, I've enjoyed our conversation, Matt. Thanks very much for sharing some cordial about the removal of GST from fruit and vegetables, but it morphed into more serious issues too when we look at the global economic situation. Great to catch up with you,
There's
Matt.
A
Thanks
lot
very
going
much.
On.
There's a lot going on, mate. It's a very important year. Thanks so much for sharing some time with us, Matt.
No, awesome. Take care.
Tēnā koe, bro. All the best to you. Professor Matt Rossgrove with us. Matsu te ate awa Ngāti Tama. And he is an economist, a doctoral supervisor at Massey Business School. Thanks to him.